Well, good morning, friends, and welcome back to Good Morning Live. My name is James Epperly, and it is always my privilege to welcome you to our online platform where we open up the Word of God every morning, gather around what He would say for our lives, and start our day right. I pray you enjoyed our special broadcast yesterday where we interviewed Jonathan Miller and with his new book, Healing Hurts. Man, what an incredible story that he has. And man, I know that that blessed you. So if you haven't done so, I want to encourage you to pick up your copy of Healing Hurts. You can do that on all of our websites and social media platforms. But it's such a great blessing to be able to interview him and talk to him. So we want to jump into today a brand new topic. And now it is October. And if you go to Hope City Church, you may have heard me tell this story, but my son, Bob, God, Lord help us, is obsessed with Halloween decorations. And it just started when we went into Lowe's one time to get something, and Lowe's had all the blow-ups and the animated things. And lo and behold, he was obsessed, and he ran over and he hits the buttons and they move. And of course, he's only three. He doesn't quite understand. But anytime he's over there touching all the Halloween stuff, I always pray, God, please let nobody from church come in here. And but he loves it. And I was hoping that as we transitioned out from, Halloween decorations, because I know it's not even, you know, it's just the beginning of October, but we're transitioning into Christmas. I was hoping that he would replace that. So I asked him this morning on his way to school, I said, now, Bob, are you excited about the Christmas trees and all of the other stuff? He said, nope, he wants Halloweena. That's what he calls it, Halloweena. So pray for us as we navigate that. But I say all that to say, because we are in October, and every time we get into October, you know, we do understand that in this season, it is a season where, you know, the demonic is celebrated and demons are celebrated and all things, you know, evil are celebrated. So every October, I like to, as my way of kind of pushing back on all of that, talk about something that I think just gets the devil mad. So on Sunday mornings, we're starting a new message series talking about different sins that took kings out in the Old Testament. And I know that's going to bless your life. But on Good Morning Live, I want to spend a little bit of time, and I want to peek into that supernatural world, if you would, because I think sometimes when we don't have a correct understanding of the supernatural and what that means and how all of that applies to our life, we're walking ignorant. Come on, then we don't have a correct understanding, and we can't navigate that properly. So for the next several weeks, we're going to talk about angels and demons. Now, not as movie props, not as folklore, not as decorations in the Lowe's department store, but as real beings in a very real spiritual world that intersects absolutely with your life. So funny is people are fascinated with the supernatural. Right, from superheroes on the big screen to the Force in Star Wars, the witches and vampires and zombies on TV. And you have to ask yourself, why is culture obsessed with the supernatural? Well, I think it's because deep down, we all know that there's more to our world than what we can see with our natural eyes, right? We are eternal beings. So today is going to kind of serve as our introduction, if you will. And I think that matters, right? So don't tune me out and saying, well, he's not going to go deep today. Because listen, if you understand what scripture actually teaches about the unseen realm, you will pray differently. You will read your Bible differently. You'll walk by faith with a bigger perspective. All right. So let's jump into this together and let's see how that supernatural world affects our natural world and what the Bible says about all of it. Now, again, I think if you look at culture, it's pretty obvious that people are obsessed with it. So why are they fascinated? Well, I think there are three good reasons for that. Number one, there's this, that old good versus evil theme, if you will, is built into us. There's joy when evil is defeated. The second reason I think culture is obsessed with it is the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 is that God has placed eternity in our hearts. So if you're not approaching life with a biblical worldview, but with a secular worldview that you just think when we leave this world, well, then we're just done, or we just cease to exist. You know, in your innermost part that there's something more, and we long for more than simply this human experience. And some Christians haven't understood the Bible's supernatural worldview. So when we don't understand their supernatural worldview, we pick up this book and we read the stories in it, and the stories, well, they feel tame, right? Like characters feel old or ordinary, and we miss the vast scope of Scripture's unseen realm. So today I want to cover three big areas. Number one, there's only one God. God created supernatural beings and what they are like. What are their natural, what's their nature, and their natural limits. And this whole thing will kind of frame this whole series as we begin to move on. So number one, there is only one God. Come on, not one among many. You know, if you read in the Old Testament, and really you find it in the New Testament as well, is that people were obsessed with having different gods for everything. There's the God that makes it rain, and the God that makes them fertile, and the God that, you know, provides, and all of these other things. But Jehovah comes in and says, no, there's not many. There is one God, right? We serve one God that is revealed to us through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not jumping into trying to preach the Trinity to you today, but I don't want you to get caught up on that, because, you know, I've always tried to explain the Trinity in this way: is you can be many things, but in one thing. You can be a mother, you can be a daughter, and you can be a sister. Same person, three expressions to who you are, right? So we have God the Father, who came down to earth in physical form as the Son, but released into the earth his Spirit. Same God, three expressions released into the earth. So we serve one God, not many gods. And our God has no equal, none, right? So we serve one God, and our God is eternal, which means without beginning or without end. No one created him. So what am I saying about God? I'm saying that he is utterly unique. He's in a class all by himself. This isn't even a fight between good and evil. Why? Because it's not a fair fight at all. That's why, listen, that's why we got to take comfort. That's why talking about this stuff is important, because listen, God's plan will always, I'm going to say that again, will always prevail. In your life, in my life, in the church, in the world, God's plan will always prevail. Right? So it's not like, well, if God, you know, can, you know, beat down the devil, then maybe. No. It's not an equal match. God's plan will always prevail. Take heart in that today, right? His plan for you will prevail. Now, the enemy may try to throw arrows. He may try to come in the back door and, you know, wreak havoc in your life. He may try to do all kind of crazy stuff. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of it all, God's plan will always prevail. So there is only one God. Now, this God that we serve, he created supernatural beings. We know that he created humans. All right, we find that in Genesis, and here we are. Here's the evidence of that. But actually, scripture would say prior to him creating humans, he created supernatural beings. Psalms 148 says, "Praise him, all his angels, for he commanded and they were created." He created the heavenly host, every supernatural being. And they're not God because they were created. There was a time when they did not exist, but God called them into being the same way he did for us. Therefore, because we are his creation and not the creator, we are not God. Come on, the creation is not greater than the creator. So he called them into being. But they were there. They witnessed the creation of the world. You know, this is a little side note to all of this, but, you know, people get caught up sometimes and, you know, in Genesis where it talks, you know, about how he created the earth in 6 days, on the seventh day he rested. And if you follow that genealogy and timeline between then and now, it's a few thousand years, but they will carbon date the earth and they will find, you know, that the earth is millions or billions of years old. And it's like, well, science isn't proving to scripture. And I just say, you know, listen, when it comes to all of that stuff, the scripture is kind of vague on that. Like, so we know he created angels, right? These beings before he ever created the world as we know it. And actually it says in Genesis 1 that in the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and darkness hovered over the face of the deep. But it said it was here. The earth was without form and void. And then God began to speak and create it into what we know it as today. But for eons of time, God could have been creating and, you know, almost like a kid with Play-Doh, if you will. Not that God's a kid, but you understand in just who he is, creating things and, you know, destroying it and starting over and doing this thing for billions of years. So, you know, I think parts of this world could have existed. Other creatures could have been created and then done away with. But it was different when he created us, right? Because when he created mankind, he breathed into us that breath of life, that now we were created in his image, and now we have his life on the inside of us. So now it's not like a kid with Play-Doh. Now it's like a parent with a child, right? So I just say, don't get caught up on all that other stuff, because, man, end of the day, we are here, right? But these angels, these spiritual beings witnessed the creation of the world. It says, where were you when I laid the foundations, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Notice the titles: the morning stars, the sons of God, the heavenly hosts, the angels. Now, angels literally means messenger. But I think that word messenger all by itself undersells their might, their rank, their functions. So how many angels are there? How many were created? Well, Hebrews 12:22 says, unnumberable company of angels, billions upon billions, were created to serve God at his command, to worship in heaven. We just read that, you know, when he laid the foundations of the earth, the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy when he created the world. So they existed. They were there. They were shouting for joy as the world was created. But then Revelation 12:4 outlines how a group of them turned. And Revelation 12:4 says a third of those angels followed Satan in a rebellion. Now, I just want to point here that that implies that a vast majority still aligned with God's purpose. Only one third fell, right? So two thirds, there are more with us than are against us, is what I'm trying to let you see today. There are more with us than are against us. And we'll unpack multiple angelic rebellions as we continue on in this series. But for now, just think massive scale, both loyal and rebellious beings at work. So what are they doing? What are these loyal beings, these angels who are aligned with God? What are they like? What are they doing? Well, they are persons, not human, but personal. They don't become human, and humans don't become angels, right? So like the whole, you know, thing, well, my, you know, aunt went to heaven and now she's an angel watching out over me. No. Doesn't exist, doesn't happen. He created angels and he created humans, and they are not the same thing. Now, angels throughout scripture can appear as humans, but they are not human. But why? Because there are three marks of personhood intellect, emotion, and will. Right. So let's look at this for a second, because intellect, we know that angels have intellect. Ezekiel 28:12 says Lucifer originally was full of wisdom. That's intellect, right? Daniel 11, I'm just trying to think of the scripture. We find that the angels explain God's plan to Daniel. So there were understanding of what was happening, right? But they don't know everything, and they can't see the future like God. So there are limits to what they know and what they can see and their foreknowledge. Why? Because they were created. They're not God. Whereas, you know, they know time limits, whereas God exists outside of time. I know I'm going deep into all this today, but I want to lay a good groundwork, because I think as we dive into this, man, it's going to revolutionize your life. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, if the rulers of this age had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What does that mean? That if Satan and his cohorts had known what would come about through the crucifixion of Jesus, they never would have crucified him. Why? Because it was his death on the cross and resurrection from the grave that rendered them helpless and hopeless forever and restored humanity back to God. But it shows us that they are limited, right? Like the fallen angels were limited in their knowledge. Satan was limited in his understanding of exactly what was happening. His mission was to get Jesus to fall, get him to sin, and to kill him, right? He didn't see the future. So the second thing is emotions. The scripture says they rejoice when sinners repent. Again, the fallen ones, evil beings hate God. They hate his plan and they hate his people. So we have emotions. There's rejoicing, you know, from the angels when one sinner repents. But demons, who are those fallen angels, hate God, hate his plan, and hate his people. So we see they have intellect. We see they have emotions. And will, they choose. They decide. Hence, the rebellion against God. But they are spirits. They do not house flesh and blood. They do not have flesh and blood. They are limited in presence. I was thinking about this the other day. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent, which means there is no limit to where he can be. That's why Jesus said, hey, listen, it's better that I in my physical form go up to heaven and the Holy Spirit comes so he can lead, guide, and direct. He can be everywhere at all times, you know. But Satan has, and so do demons, have limited presence. That's why the scripture says he walks, roams the earth, seeking whom he may devour. So Satan can only be in one place, and so can a demon, one place at a time. They are limited. And we know that angels are powerful. Revelation 7:1 says, four angels hold back the four winds. Second Kings tells the story of how one angel strikes and 185,000 Assyrians are wiped out. So they are exceptionally powerful, yet they are not God. So why does all of this matter? Well, if we don't understand the supernatural worldview of Scripture, we misread our Bible. We minimize the scale of God's redemptive mission. And we reduce darkness to only possession, which is really a small slice of its agenda, and miss how God works with heavenly host and with us. So understanding the unseen realm builds an eternal perspective. It gives us insight to how God is working behind the scenes beyond what we can see. Because listen, that's what Daniel's fight was, right? He had prayed and for 21 days, he heard absolutely nothing. So he began to grow discouraged, begin to wonder, what is God doing? Where's God at? What's happening right now? And so what happens? God sends an angel to Daniel And that angel says to Daniel, listen, God heard the moment that you prayed, he heard and he answered. But there's been warfare in the heavenly realms, and for 21 days, your answer has been held up. Right? So Daniel could have said, all right, so I prayed and it was released. I'm just going to sit back and wait for it to manifest. I know angels are working. They're fighting. They're doing what they do. They heavenly hosts are warring on behalf of this answer coming to me. I don't need to worry. I don't need to fret. It's God's plan will prevail. Right? But when we don't have an understanding of that unseen realm, that unseen world, and all we're looking at is what's happening in the natural. All we're focused on is what we can see, touch, feel. Then, man, we'll convince ourselves that God is silent. God's not listening. He hasn't heard us. He hasn't responded. And we miss how God works with heavenly hosts and with us. So we can fight the good fight of faith with clarity. So today, I just wanted to lay this groundwork and say the spiritual world is real. Beings are fearsome and mighty that we can't even comprehend their magnitude. And yet our God stands alone above all of them. The next time we're together, we'll look at kind of titles and ranks and functions God assigned and how that plays into regions and nations and everyday life. So let me pray for you today. Father, we thank you that you are God and God alone, eternal, all-powerful, all-wise. Would you open our ears to your word and your ways? Would you teach us to walk by faith with an eternal perspective? Would you teach us to fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers? In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today. It's always an honor to get on with you and to open up the Word of God together. And I want to remind you that God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.